Good music is proven to provide many benefits for your mind, body, and spirit. Learn how music is central to God's plan. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
Greetings, everyone. How much do you know about music? Great music benefits our mental, physical, and emotional health. It aids our thinking and helps us get rid of our moods, the wrong kinds of moods, so say many of the experts. Now, you can prove that to yourself, but on the contrary, there is a wrong kind of music that will have just about the reverse effect of that and can damage your mental and physical and emotional health. Something we need to be very careful about. Great music also can remove some depression. That depression can be caused by the contrary type of music, perverted music or anything like that. But we have a new booklet that is just absolutely outstanding. It's titled The Measure of Music by Ryan Malone, our music director and choir master. And this is just one of the most dynamic, unique booklets that you'll ever find on this earth, I do believe. And I hope that you'll send for it. We'll give you the information at the end of this program. And of course, all of our literature is free. But in another book of Mr. Malone's called The Institution of Praise, he quotes a Professor Levitin. The professor says, "Music is clearly a means for improving people's moods." Improving your mood and people's moods. To illustrate this idea, we first need to understand the Nobel Prize-winning discovery made in 1998 about how cells in our bodies create nitric oxide in waves, a gas that they release into the body tissue around them, a process called puffing. This puffing can boost cell vitality and vascular flow, aid in resistance of stress, strengthen the immune system, diminish depression, improve digestion, and impart higher levels of energy, stamina, and mental clarity. Now that's quite a statement, that this great music can benefit you in that way. That is something that I think all of us should be concerned about. When you look at just the mental and emotional effects of music, great music, it's astounding. It seems like all of us would be very much involved in. Dr. Oliver Sacks, musician and neurologist, had this to say. He was quoting music therapist Greta Schulthorpe, and Sacks writes, quote, "There are disturbed people who become calm because of good music." Sacks also discusses music's profound effects on Parkinson's patients and amnesiacs. At the end of the book, he states that to those who are lost in dementia, music is not some trivial luxury of life, but a necessity, and can have a power beyond anything else to restore them to themselves and to others, at least for a while, and then you may have to repeat the process from time to time. But just think about all of the wonderful blessings that come from great music. In the music in childhood points out that to buy into the myth that few children are musically endowed and one that threatens the right of all musical education and may even endanger a musical culture. See, again, that's a myth. We actually teach all of our young children, elementary children and high school children and on into college, that they can develop musical skills. And that We prove it by doing it. I think the understanding that many of the experts clearly tell us is something we need to look into closely or study closely and scrutinize everything they say, because there are so many wonderful benefits, but there is an added dimension to this, and that is what the Bible says about music. There are just all kinds of scriptures and examples of music in the Bible. And God reveals to us how important it is to our lives if it's great music. The best of the human spirit and the best that God can inspire in us. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 18, it talks about David being cunning in his playing. And David was, it says in Acts 13 and verse 22, he was a man after God's own heart, and he would fulfill all of God's will. And he was cunning in playing. So that cunning in playing actually literally means to be skillful in striking the strings, and it connotes an ability to teach. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible about music. Just notice this amazing example, verse 23, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." That's just something that is almost mind-stretching when you start thinking about it. Here we have the music therapy first talked about in the Bible. It really is and can be great therapy. And here is specifically a cure for spiritual, mental, and emotional ailments. So says your Bible. And there are studies, plenty of them in this world, that show you the positive effects on the mind and the physical health of a human being. When you look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, just look at it more closely and what it says there. But it shows that it's a soothing remedy that is available to us if we really do trust and believe in God. Where it says David played with his hand in that verse, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, it should read, better translated, David played with his hand day by day. I mean, he really was into this music and really was good at playing instruments. Psalm 57 has this to say from David, quote, "Wake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. Myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto you among the nations." Now, at that time he was hiding in a cave because Saul was trying to kill him, but he was writing about his music. It was so important to him. And he knew, if you read that correctly, it definitely does say, I believe very strongly, that David knew this music he was writing was going to go to all the nations through his people, and especially when you get into the New Testament church, that David's psalms are certainly taught by God's people around the world. And many people maybe that don't even have a religion, they may be studying and understanding those psalms because they love the psalms. Or maybe they have at least some faith in God. But think about David's realized that this is music that he was into that was for the whole world and all the nations. He realized that even, 1,000 years before Christ came. These psalms are really, they are songs. They're also poetry, but they're songs to be sung, for us to be singing. 1 Chronicles 23 shows that 4,000 priests played instruments that David made. He composed much music. 75 psalms has his name directly in the inscription. This is taken from Mr. Malone's book. And there are quite a few more psalms that he wrote that You can also prove from your Bible with a little more research. But our hymnal book is essentially about the Psalms. We sing the Psalms, and they're the most beautiful, powerful music in the world. And most people don't know that, but they are, and they will actually even increase your faith if you look at it spiritually, because they are statements right out of the Bible and promises that God makes to us time and time again. If you want to look to a New Testament group of verses, let me read something just a little to you from Revelation 4, verses 3 and 4. I'll just give you the highlights here, but it talks about God's throne room, and then it talks about a rainbow round about the throne. The 24 elders are there, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And this is the environment that we're that God is illustrating here. And the 24 elders did sing a new song. That's in verse 9. But just think about this visually rich environment. There were harps being played and singing, and there was all kinds of constant music. But look especially to verse 11. Well, it's 11 to 13, but it's specifically in verse 11. But there's an angelic chorus of 100 million voices. Can you fathom that? You'd think God loves music? 100 million voices. Can you imagine what an impact that would have on human beings? And certainly it has a great impact on God, because He has created it for His pleasure and for His good. That's just mind-bending when you think about it. You mean God really puts this much emphasis on music? Well, it must have some good benefits, or God would never do that. And that certainly is in your New Testament if you believe in the Old and New Testament. Well, if you don't believe in the Old Testament, well, it's in the New Testament. But we really should believe in both of them. They are tightly intertwined. And about 25% of the New Testament is direct quotations from the Old Testament. But in Psalm 45 in verse 8, notice this. It says, "All the garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made you glad." But that's not a good translation there where it says whereby. The verse should read this way: "Out of the ivory palaces, string instruments gladden you." They gladden you. They really do have an impact on the mind and the mood and the mentality of the human being, the emotions of the human being, and even the physical health of the human being. Just think of all those majestic surroundings. God He lives in great luxury, and He wants that for man. Man would have it even now if he obeyed God. But in the world tomorrow, this world is going to be filled with the same kind of luxury that God is talking about that He has. He has His throne culture that is something that is so majestic that we've never even seen anything like it. But it gladdens you. You see, it has a real impact on making you more positive. And who could, avoid something like that if they really understand it? Ezekiel 28 and verse 13 says, "The workmanship of your tabrets and your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created." Talking about Lucifer. God created this great archangel, Lucifer. And notice, He gave him all of this musical talent. He was in charge of music and other things. But the workmanship of the tabrets and the pipes that was prepared in you in the day that you were created, He had these superior musical skills. And God planned on him taking that and the angels taking that into the entire universe. But the angels failed, and now God wants human beings to be created in his character and in his with his mind and go out into the universe and fill it with that kind of music. We'll even be given greater music than what Lucifer was given. And he rebelled and became Satan the devil and the god of this world, and he has perverted the music of this world. Most of it is perverted. Certainly much of it, but there are certainly good musicians, great musicians in this world, and there's great music. And you'll see in this auditorium some of the best of the human spirit there is on this earth through music, singing, and dancing. That is something that benefits our students, benefits all of our people in every way. If you think about the entire universe and taking this kind of music out into the entire universe, that's something to really contemplate and think about how wonderful this future is going to be. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, I'll just give you one quote here from those verses. It talks about God intending for the Israelites to live by his type of culture. And here's a quote from Mr. Malone. He says, "The nation's progenitor, Abraham, was an extremely well-educated, well-traveled, refined man. According to the Austrian Chronicle of the 95 rulers, he established Austria as the cultural center of Europe. It still is today, over 4,000 years later. The evidence of Abraham's influence in Austria is found mostly in its musical culture. Vienna remains the musical capital of the world. Salzburg was the film location for much of the Sound of Music and is world famous as the birthplace of Mozart, the great musical genius revered in the city as well as in Greater Austria." And of course, all over the world today. But think about that. And we have all kinds of outstanding concerts in this auditorium, and we have the best artists from performing artists from all over the world, and many of our people will live stream those concerts, and so they benefit from it as well in many occasions. But then again, that fulfills David's prophecy about him taking his music to the nations. He knew there was a future for that nations because that music, because he knew it was revealed to him by God. And he knew that God was doing it for a much bigger purpose than just his time. He had the vision to see far down into the world tomorrow and the city of New Jerusalem was coming to this earth. Isaiah 51 and verse 3 says, "For the Eternal shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." They're going to be singing and having a joyful, rejoicing time. What could be more wonderful than that kind of a future? Well, we can enjoy much of that today. That's what God wants us to see and understand. The voice of melody. All kinds of music in spiritual Eden. The real Eden is yet to come. And what a wonderful time that's going to be. Well, it talks about in Jeremiah 31, verses 11 through 14. I'll just paraphrase that. But it says, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, the virgin rejoice in the dance." This is talking about that wonderful world tomorrow. "And I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Eternal." And he's talking about in-depth kind of dancing that really is the hardest dancing to learn in the world. God wants us to create the very best of music that we possibly can, and dancing, and have the most awesome singing that you could hear. That is what God wants for us, whether it's on the human level or the God's level, but it'll be much greater on God's level for sure. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over you with singing. This is how God is going to build happiness in the world, real joy. And a big part of that comes through God's music, or even the classical music that we hear today in many cases. It is very beautiful, and certainly can have an amazing impact on human beings. But God is getting ready to plant all of that in the heavens. It says in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1 that it says, "The sweet psalmist of Israel," talking about David. And what a sweet psalmist he was, and how he loved music. Well, there are other scriptures like 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 8 about, "And all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets." Think about all of that. Verse 16 says, "And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music," literally singing, "and psalteries and harps and cymbals and sounding, by lifting up the voice with joy," singing with joy. And it really uplifted all of them. And we need that in our culture. That is a part of God's culture, to be sure. One scripture, I'll just conclude with this, but Asaph, who was a poet and a prophet, certainly was in charge of much of the Israelite singing, said, "Asaph, of all the psalmists, seems to discuss the hands more than others. Psalm 80 and verse 17 says, 'Let your right hand be upon the man of your right hand.'" And then he goes on to say, "Asaph could see God's hand guiding his nation and a chosen leader just as a conductor would." That's what he's talking about. God guides all of this if we'll let Him orchestrate His plan. And it's going to bring us great joy. I mean, that's the spiritual dimension that we all want. He's going to spread that glory to all of this world, all of the heathen, as it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 and 9, and verses 23 and 24. God says, "Sing unto Him, sing songs unto Him, talk you of all His wondrous works," or sing about God and all that He does for all of us, and the kind of His throne room culture that He wants to bring to this world, and He's going to bring it to this world. He's going to do so very, very soon, and you can see that and you can prove that in Bible prophecy. So let's learn everything we can about great music. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Good music is proven to provide many benefits for your mind, body, and spirit. Learn how music is central to God's plan. It's often said that humans are musical beings. No matter your background, age, class, or social standing, music appeals to you. But which kinds of music are best for your physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional health? Why is the great God of the universe so interested in music? In what ways can good music make you more like God? How important is music in the grand scope of history, prophecy, and God's plan for mankind? Request our new free booklet, The Measure of Music, to explore music's importance as revealed in Scripture. Learn why God used so much space in the Bible for specific descriptions of godly music and dance. Understand why God prefers some kinds of music but condemns others. Investigate the Bible's various references to music, its history before man, its journey through Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church, its modern manifestations, as well as its future as described in Bible prophecy. Discover how music, as a component of godly culture, is actually an essential part of your personal enrichment. Learn how to use music to improve your relationship with God. Read The Measure of Music to unlock the answers to foundational historical questions in music. Where did music come from? Which ancient civilization was more responsible for cultivating and developing it? How advanced were melody and harmony in the ancient world? Was it a steady evolution, with mankind stumbling along from one serendipitous discovery to the next until we finally reached the musical advancement of today? What is God's view on the many genres of music in our world? The Holy Bible records the answers to all these questions. More than a fascinating view of history, our new booklet, The Measure of Music, represents essential knowledge in the worship of the true God. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request our new booklet, The Measure of Music. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request our new booklet, The Measure of Music. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.